take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Welcome to Nurses Out Loud. I am Melissa Schreibfetter and I am your host. I am so excited to announce my guest I have today. I have with me Heather Rose, also known as the Holistic Realtor. She is a building biologist in training, and she specializes in helping people to find healthy homes. I actually personally used Heather as a realtor, and I just speak so highly of her. And then we ended up becoming very good friends because we both, unfortunately, struggled and suffered with mold illness. Now, I know the show that I did with you all last week, we talked about mold and mycotoxins and the effect on the body. Today's show is going to be about that environmental aspect, that there's just so much information that is lacking out there. So welcome, Heather. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes, absolutely. So one area that I wanted to get started on, and, you know, I know we've talked about this so many times, but a lot of people are being told that you don't have mold in your home. It's just fine. So I wanted to touch on that first, but I also wanted our listeners to hear a little bit about your background and how you became so interested in the mold debacle.
Yeah, well, I never pictured myself as being here. I actually have a business degree and a master's in business and marketing. And 12 years ago, I embarked on a real estate career just kind of as a change. And I learned a lot along the way, the hard way, about mold and its effect on the body and the home, right? Your home value. A lot of people don't think about that, how it affects your home value, but I've had 4 new construction homes, and each one of them, and they were spec homes, so, you know, I didn't build them from the ground up, but I've encountered mold with each one of them. And so, you know, partially, in my case, with new construction, a lot of it has to do with just the recent building practices, the newer builder, you know, tighter homes, and the lack of knowledge of building science. And then for those resales, we have, you know, just a lack of maintenance or not understanding what the home needs to you know, keep the systems up so that they can stay free of mold and debris and things like that are going to cause health issues in people. So I just kind of did a deep dive when I started encountering this. Again, I knew that, like everybody else, you know, mold's harmful, but, you know, you just don't understand to what extent. And I'm one of those mold canaries and people with a genetic predisposition that, you know, it's harder for my body to detox mold. And I think that anybody that is exposed to it long enough, depending on the type of mold, is going to get sick. You really don't have to have a genetic predisposition to that, but, you know, everybody needs to take it seriously. So I just kind of sought out, you know, how can we do this better? What can I teach people that I'm, you know, working with in a real estate transaction? How can I guide them? How can I get them connected to resources that are going to help them identify these things on the front end before they buy the house and they end up having to tear out walls and spend a bunch of money that they didn't intend on spending? And we know the current real estate market here is really not conducive to that. People don't want to spend all their extra money on ripping out walls later, you know, when they embark on, you know, finding things later. So, So yeah, that just kind of led me down that rabbit hole. And over time, I just looked for a greater education behind it and found the Institute of Building Biology and enrolled in their program. And I am doing a dual track. So I'll be an environmental consultant and a new build consultant. And that just kind of brings things full circle. It allows me to speak to the topic with that hat on and not a realtor hat, and really be able to guide people in the process. And the new build is really cool because there aren't that resource isn't available to a lot of people. You have to go digging, and this is over 200 hours of education, almost 2 years of education that I am hopefully able to bring to the table for folks that are looking at building a healthier home, managing moisture from the get-go, and also non-toxic products or less toxic versions of products, and building for EMF, building to just to that you don't have to mitigate those things later. You can put it into that thought process before the build, and it's easier to execute that way. So I'm really excited about that. And then just, the other tenet of my job is to help people, navigate a healthy home purchase. So whether that's a new build or a resale, we come up with systematic approaches to help people in that process and just hopefully protect their health and their investment.
Wonderful. I think this is such a blessing, and I'm so happy that you are going to be providing these types of services, because I remember when I was really sick, you actually came over and helped provide guidance from what led to my mold remediation, which actually helped me get well. So to tell you guys a little backstory, and Heather knows about this really well. We actually love our house and our neighborhood. When we moved in, we had mold in the crawl space, and we know that whatever is in the crawl space is going to end up being circulated throughout the entire house. Now, I didn't get sick right when we moved in, but we knew there was mold. So we were like, let's go ahead and get this removed because we know it can make us sick. Well, the mold company that I hired, they supposedly removed the mold, but they left some type of fluid all over our vapor barrier. Long story short, I started to get real, real sick, chronic fatigue, chronic congestion, all of these random issues. And I was like, I looked at my husband and I said, "Can you go take a look at the crawl space?" Because most people are not just going down and looking at their crawl space daily. He went down there, and every place that they had put that solution, there was toxic black mold growing in that. And that is what made us so sick. And so again, us not having an environment, a background in building biology, I was like, get it out. So I had my husband go down there and just pull out the vapor barrier, which was not a good idea because then, you've got the mold growing in there, and then you agitate all those mycotoxins, which that goes through everything in the home. But even after he removed it, I was still having issues. And I had a mold inspector that came out, and he said, "Your house does not have." I actually had two or three of them that came out and told me that I did not have a mold issue. And it was Heather that came in and did an evaluation and then recommended a mold inspector and told the mold inspector specifically what to test. And I did have a significant problem still. But I know with my situation, even though this mold company came in, made a big old mess, they did not accept responsibility. And we had to go out the extra cost to replace our air ducts, pull up all of the carpet in our home, and put down flooring and do all of these additional things. But are you seeing cases like this frequently where somebody's told that they don't have a mold issue and then you find that the opposite is true?
More times than I can count. And it's really sad because the people aren't getting the information that they need. And I think one issue is, like, if you're looking at the broad population, most people, if you go in and you do certain testing, you do an air sample, and it's like tells you what's sporulating in the air, it gives you a snapshot of that time and on that particular day, it may not show. And people just kind of hang their hats on that. And then they have a false sense of security and they believe that they don't have a mold problem in their home. And, you know, they may be experiencing symptoms that say otherwise. And so that's kind of where the rub is with certain kind of testing, and people are sort of led astray believing. And that's what happened to me. I was a new construction home. We had a musty odor coming from a particular location, and we had tons of people out to evaluate our space and our crawl space, and had air testing done, which I thought at the time was gold standard. This is years ago, and I didn't know anything about mold. And you know, a year later, we discovered a huge problem with our home, and that you know, air testing was not reliable. And I'm not saying that it's completely unreliable in all scenarios. It definitely has its place, but you know, that was the test that was performed at our home, and you know, allowed the inspector to give us a clean bill of health, and it was not accurate. And so a lot of people have this false sense of security again that everything is fine and they don't know what they're looking for. So there you have the disconnect.
Well, and I also think that people get taken advantage of because the vast majority of us do not have education in this area. And a lot of homeowners, we don't know that we're supposed to keep our humidity below a certain level. We don't know that, and most people don't know they're supposed to have their, you know, air ducts regularly cleaned out and all of these hidden sources of mold. And when I was going through all of this, you know, I I'm a healthcare professional. I understand the medical side of what happens in the body. I didn't know the environmental side of this. And there are so many mold inspector companies, which I'm kind of curious on how easy it is to call yourself a certified mold inspector. But a lot of them will advertise, oh, we'll come by and we'll do a free inspection. And they come in with their, you know, hard hat on or whatever. And they'll walk around the home just looking for like visible sources of mold. And then they try to sell you a costly air quality test. So with and you're right. Like it gives a lot of people like a false sense of you know, being assured that their home is safe when it's really not. So you mentioned that air quality may have a place in this situation, but it's not the end all be all. Like with when it, I know, and I know that every home, every case, it's they're all different. But what are some testing modalities that you find to be helpful?
Well, testing, sampling and testing really needs to be in place to support a visual inspection. An in-depth, good visual inspection is the gold standard. And so there can be discrepancies in those, right? I mean, depending on what the mold inspector, the person is looking for. If you don't go in the crawl space, then you're not going to be able to evaluate the crawl space, right? So it's you know, understanding where that inspector is going to conduct. And if he comes in and out in an hour, he has not efficiently evaluated your space. So they need to spend time in the attic, the crawl space. These are two places that if you don't go in regularly, call somebody out, pay somebody to go in there for you. Because a lot of people think that it's out of sight, out of mind. You know, I don't go in my attic, it's closed off, or I don't store anything in my attic, or I, you know, why would I need to go in the crawl space? But they're very much a part of indoor air quality. And so you can never seal those off completely, no matter how hard you try. There's cracks and crevices that you're not going to get to in your home. So that is going to be a part of the air quality. But you know, back to what I was saying with the sampling, supporting that visual, if you see something that you don't always have to sample it because it's there, you're going to treat it regardless of what it is. Some people want to sample it because they want to know what species it is. Maybe they want to correlate it to their mycotoxin urine test, or you know, they have other goals, right? And so you shouldn't walk away with thousands of dollars of sampling. However, depending on what the inspector sees, there are swabs available, there are tape tests available. There's ERMI, which is a Environmental Relative Moldiness Index. It was a test developed by the EPA, not for testing mold in homes per se, but it's turned kind of to a household name now in testing, and especially amongst the functional community, medical community. But what that test does is it's a dust test. It's PCR based, and it's collecting the DNA from the mold. And so it can look at viable, non-viable, pick up mold fragments that are landing on surfaces that air testing may not be able to collect and quantify. If it's not airborne, the air test is not going to capture it. And so a lot of molds are dense, and unless they're disturbed, they're just not airborne. And so the ERMI allows us to collect those molds and be able to test and be able to see what types of molds they are and see if they're toxigenic molds or mycotoxin producing molds. And it's really important to know. A lot of people just grab an ERMI and look at the scoring, and that's really not reliable. I mean, it has its fallacies too. Every single one of these tests has, just like in medical testing, functional testing, sometimes there's other tests that you need to do along with that complementary to get the full picture. And that's the same as muscle, mold testing, almost the muscle testing. That's the same as mold testing because it gives you that full picture. If you do an ERMI and it comes back that you've got Stachybotrys somewhere, that's great. You have insight, but it doesn't tell you where that Stachy is. It doesn't tell you if it was a historical leak or if it's something that's happening now, but it does give you that information. And sometimes when we have to make a very quick decision in real estate, in our inspection period, they're pretty quick. It's 7 to 10 days typically. And so we have to gather as much information as we can and make sense of that and say, hey, is this something, take that to the home inspector and say, this is what my ERMI shows. Can we dig deeper? And perhaps, we've got knowledge of this. Can we try to trace where this is coming from? So again, an ERMI is not an end all be all, but it definitely is a tool in the toolbox, just as air sampling is. Cavity air sampling is, it can be very useful and relevant if you suspect an issue within a wall. Swabs, tapes. I like to isolate the HVAC system separately. Melissa, as you know, we did with your home, that can be an area to where hidden mold is often lurking, and you can't expect for air quality testing, air sampling, ambient air sampling, or ERMI to always pick that up. So it's a good idea to isolate those components separately and swab the coils, the blower motor, get an inspection there as well, and the different parts of the HVAC system to, see what could potentially be lurking in there that is affecting your air quality, because that's the lungs of the house. And so typically that's something that is out of sight, out of mind. People just don't think about it.
Yes. So brilliant. And when you're talking about these things, I do recommend ERMI. And again, I always like to reiterate, ERMI is a very, very good test, but it's not the end all be all. It's kind of like with functional medicine. We're not going to just make all of the decisions based on one test. We're usually going to do multiple tests and also take into consideration assessment. There's lots of puzzle pieces, but an ERMI is something that you can purchase directly from the website. So that's called Envirobiomics. It's a company that makes it, and it's relatively affordable. It's like $2 to $2.50. Now, when I went through this, my ERMI, I was really sick in the home, and my ERMI looked okay from the rating scale. So that's why we were talking about how you don't want to just look at that rating for the species that come up in your ERMI. You want to make sure that you look up those species and see if those are mycotoxin producing species, and then also see if this is matching up to what you are seeing on your urinary mycotoxin test. Now, with mycotoxins, So say that you are, I usually recommend people start evaluating their home. However, if you are at work and you're in an office, 40 to 50 hours per week, you could also be getting sick from something at work. We know that bigger buildings like hospitals, of course, hospitals, right? But like hospitals, schools, dorm rooms, these are places that are notorious for having significant mold issues. I'd worked at a hospital one time that I was working 12 to 14 hour shifts 3 days in a row. And almost every time I got off of my weekly shift, I noticed I was having these like weird skin issues and like a cough that I was developing. And then it would clear up as the week went on. And then I would go back to work and I'd have all these issues again. And I later found out that multiple people were getting sick from that environment because they just weren't taking care of the air quality. Now, with the, so I have a question for you. That's kind of it's kind of silly, but my grandfather, very, very set in his ways. He was a landlord, and I remember he would talk about how black mold was not a big deal, and he was like, "Oh, no, all you need to do is spray some bleach on it." So tell me, Heather, why is that a bad idea, just to spray some bleach on black mold and then call it a day?
So for porous materials, if you look at the ingredients, the makeup of bleach, water is the first ingredient. And so when you're spraying that into porous materials, it's going to penetrate deep into that wood where, mold grows and branches out into the wood. And so you may be able to clean the surface and scrub it and get all the stains off and have some pretty nice new looking wood. But what you've done is just driven that moisture source deeper into the wood and given the mold more food to continue to grow and continue to root. And then it's going to come back. And that's why you hear people talking, I sprayed this in my, shower and it's just coming back, or I sprayed, whatever they're trying to treat, they spray bleach on it and then it just comes back. And that's not taking care of the source. That's why it continues to come back. So,
Again, going back to the root causes, why do you have this mold issue in the first place? Because again, if we don't address the root cause, then we're not going to make that much progress. Another thing that you mentioned was the HVAC. So in our home, we were having our HVAC system serviced regularly. And when I had a certified mold inspector that actually knew what he was doing come in and take a look. And again, like what you mentioned before, if you have somebody that comes by and does a free inspection and they're in and out in less than an hour, I had some of these mold inspectors that I would ask them, I would be like, "Well, did you look in the attic?" And they told me that it was impossible for mold to grow in an attic, which I know was incorrect because every home I've lived in, when we've sold the house, they were like, "Oh, there's mold in your attic. You got to take care of that." But sometimes they just don't want to fool with going up in your attic. So they'll tell you it's impossible. And it's all about finding people that have integrity and actually care about what they're doing. But so with our HVAC being serviced regularly, I never thought that that could be a source of mold because if you've got mold growing in your HVAC, that's going to be going dispersing all throughout your home. Well, there was so much mold on the blower motor of our HVAC that they couldn't even clean it, right? And then we had checked the coils, which is another part of our HVAC. I know very little about HVAC, so I'm trying to explain it, but we had our coils tested, and you mentioned doing the sampling testing, and that was sky high. And we tried to clean the coils. I was still sick. So we had to replace our HVAC and all of our ductwork, which it was expensive, but you can't put a price on your health. And this is another reason why I think it's so important when you purchase a home to live below your means, because that home is going to have maintenance, and some people end up in this situation where their house payment is so high that they don't have the extra money to go and do these maintenance things to ensure that their home is healthy. So I know that you mentioned that there's just these different hidden sources of mold that people don't think about, So we were talking about how the HVAC is like the lungs of the house, that the attic, the crawl space. What are some other places, just hidden sources of mold that you would recommend that people get checked out?
You know, those are the top three. Honestly, you know, if you walk the perimeter of your house and look for things, it's all about eradicating moisture, right? And water penetration, water intrusion. So just making sure that the grading around your house is you know, conducive to draining water away from the foundation. Making sure that your roof, your gutters aren't backed up. Because if the gutters are backed up, then the water's not going to come out the downspout and you're going to have water backing up into your house and probably your walls. So sometimes that's a hidden source until it presents itself, right? You can walk through your home and look for areas of paint bubbling and chipping, and that can give a red flag as to something is wrong that I can't visibly see. You know, other than like a pipe bursting or something like that. So I would say probably I would check refrigerators behind refrigerators often, or refrigerators leaking underneath could be a hidden source. And you should be pulling out your refrigerator anyways and cleaning and wiping down and vacuuming. So that's a good time to check if you just kind of make a tick mark on your calendar and just say, okay, I'm going to do my HVAC maintenance at this time and I'm going to pull out the refrigerator and vacuum it off and really just deep cleaning. Mold can grow on surfaces via dirt and dust. It's a food mechanism. And if people, you had mentioned the humidity in the home, because that is another area. You don't have to have water pouring in. You can have high humidity levels and it can give mold what it needs to sustain itself and grow. And so I always recommend people do really good deep cleanings to just prevent that dirt and dust buildup in the first place. So it's obviously going to, you know, give you a better chance at not having mold grow in your home, but also in your HVAC system. So people should really should purchase on Amazon little humidistats and put them in every room in the house. And it really should be 50% and under is what I like to keep it at my house. And so if you see it getting above that, there's a reason why. We can kind of broach the surface with that, but typically what I see is oversized HVAC equipment. And so the first function of your HVAC equipment is to pull humidity out of the air. Second is for comfort. And so if it's not working to pull the humidity out of the air, then you're going to have a humidity problem and consequentially a mold problem later on. So it could be in relation to that, or the sizing of your ductwork, or again, just the mechanics of that. So those are some things that I help with in consulting, and you know, your HVAC company can help with that as well, and sizing and that sort of thing, and diagnosing those issues. But a lot of times, and I see it in even new construction, these units are oversized and they're going in these homes and the you know, buyers don't even know this on the front end. They just think that I'm a brand new home and a brand new system and I don't have anything to worry about. And it's very much the opposite. So those would be some places. Just, you know, continually check underneath cabinets for leaking pipes. One thing I see is products, spilled products that have been sitting there for months. You know, a kitchen, you fill up your kit bottom of your kitchen sink with all sorts of things and you can't see in the back, or your kids put products and underneath their sink in their cabinet, and all it takes is just a spill, and then it's, you know, you've got mold basically
Yeah.
growing in something
Yeah,
that
absolutely. So yeah,
needs to be preventable.
so much good content here. So we're gonna go ahead and go to break, and wanted to mention that America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on your media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where we stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on the podcast on those same apps.
It's time and this is what.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on americaoutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, americaoutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Time and this is love. Welcome back to Nurses Out Loud. This is your host, Melissa Schreibvetter, and I am here today with my good friend, Heather Rose. Heather Rose is also known as a holistic realtor, and she is a building biologist in training. We have been talking about how to ensure that you are living in a safe environment, what types of red flags to look for, and hidden places of mold and things like that. And I wanted to dive into red flags when buying a home and also things like remediation. So right before we went to break, you mentioned that sometimes people think that because they are in new construction, that it cannot be mold. And I know that I have had clients that I was working with, and I do a lot of urinary mycotoxin testing in my practice when I see hallmark symptoms of mold issues. And we happen to live in the beautiful state of Tennessee, which is wonderful, but like we're like one of the most humid states in the country. And people just don't, you know, it's just not recognized that mold illness is not something that is, you know, generally recognized as a significant health issue. So I've had clients I've worked with who had to actually move out of new homes because there were issues with construction. And I know that I see new construction all the time. And we have rainy season here in Tennessee where it rains all of the time. And I'm thinking, I'm like, are they just building over all of these damp materials? Because I've had clients that they will actually have significant mold issues in their drywall. So can you explain a little bit about that, about like, you know, some deficits that you see with new construction and you know, what you recommend with new construction to help to prevent so much moisture from getting into the building that people end up with these awful mold issues?
Yeah. So unfortunately, Melissa, everything that you said is true. We kind of have an impasse between these contractors staying on a schedule and wanting to get the home complete because they have all of the contractors booked out on a specific schedule. And so if they have to wait and give the home drying time, then that's going to add extra time to the schedule. Another thing, you know, you get into some of the builders aren't trying to do anything vindictively, but they just don't have knowledge of the proper processes. And there are not there are very limited overarching requirements. For example, when a lumber package is dropped off at a building site, it's supposed to be a certain moisture content or less to be acceptable. And so if it's not, they can reject it, but they can't, it can't, there's nothing that says that they can reject it based on it being covered with mold. And you know, when it's delivered in bundles, you can't really inspect all of the pieces anyways. So, and this is for the framing. Usually the decking and the sheathing is delivered already wrapped. And so that's a little bit easier to, keep protected because you can keep it wrapped until you need to use it. And so we get into that, and then just the building practices that are happening right now to build a really tight, energy efficient home, and the lack of knowledge again in the building science and how that home has to function. All these parts have to function together. It's just like a human body, and it's just not being considered. Codes obviously is very bare minimum. And that's if they're sometimes being enforced at all. We see issues with code, with things happening that should have been caught by a codes inspector. And so really you have to strategize all of this on the front end. And that's something that, you know, I try to do with my clients. There are variances in that. You've got production builders all the way to semi-custom to fully custom. And so obviously if you've got a fully custom home, you have a better shot at getting all of your requests fulfilled. But nonetheless, we always start out with that conversation that what is important to the client and what are some strategies that we can use that are just really easily employable for the builder. And, you know, those include delivering the framing and, you know, multiple drops so that it's not just sitting out in the rain and sitting in the mud, storing the framing up off the ground. These are really simple things that they can do that maybe cost them a little bit of time, but really not money. I mean, it just, you know, involves someone being on site when the delivery is there and making sure that the pallet is ready to go or the storage mechanism is there. It's really, that's all there is to it. And so we can do that. We can also, it really starts with the contract in a builder scenario. You really have to read that contract and know exactly what you're signing and what you're getting yourself into. They have all sorts of things that disclaim mold and radon and other environmental aspects. And so you really have to watch that. There are some contracts that you're giving away your right to your statutory period to be able to file a lawsuit in the name of a defect. And so those are, again, the things that the buyer needs to be aware of. But there are things that we can put in the contract to help prevent as much as that as possible. And just hold their feet to the fire, make regular visits during the build, during the framing inspection. We're looking for visible mold on the wood. It's coming in like that from the lumber yard. There's really no way around it. And then we have to come up with we have to devise a strategy to get to remove the mold prior to, because the builder's thoughts are that, you know, the framing is sitting open and it's sunshiny and the wind's blowing and it's going to dry out and the UV light's going to kill it and it's going to be fine. And what they don't understand is it's leaving back that residue that could still be producing mycotoxins, may or may not, but it still can be an irritant to the homeowners. And so, you know, they have to take that into consideration, and a lot of them aren't. So we push for that. We push for mitigation. It could just be as simple as coming in and doing mold remediation on the wood, all the way to, I've had dry ice blasting companies come in and hit all of the wood. I've had, homeowners want to do that. And oftentimes it's on the homeowner's dime. The builder's not going to do anything because they know that the next person's going to come in and want the house and not say anything, or they can close it up basically and nobody's ever going to know. And so we have to work with the builder in those scenarios to figure out what that remediation process is going to be. But again, nobody's doing that. And nobody really knows that it's an option to do that. So,
yeah. And, you know, we talked about last week about how, you know, the CDC does not recognize mold illness as being a thing. They only recognize it in really severe scenarios. And because of that, there's all this negative trickle down that a lot of healthcare providers, unfortunately, so many of them in this conventional model are still using the CDC as a reference. So, and I'm even seeing that allergy and asthma clinics, when people have asthma, allergies, chronic sinus infections, mold is never a thought. Like, these medical providers will just prescribe steroids and antibiotics and inhalers, but they're never asking, what is your air quality like in the home? Are you living in a mold sick home? This is not something that is generally asked. So because healthcare providers aren't savvy on this, then a lot of just the population, the homeowner population, mold is not something that's on their radar, that a lot of people are willing to spend money on when they're going to the doctor and the doctor is saying, no, mold illness is not a thing, you know, because it can be expensive when you're looking to do remediation and you're looking to add in additional safety measures when building a home. Because I was always thinking about, okay, you know, they're building these homes, they're putting them up really quick. We have this like rainstorm. And I also know the materials that they're building the homes with are more susceptible to mold issues, but I never even thought about the lumber coming in. And you mentioned that if the lumber gets there and it's visibly moldy, that a lot of times it's still getting used in construction.
Absolutely. 100%. So that's why we walk through at the framing stage and evaluate the lumber and whatever the builder needs to see. A lot of times they're like, well, that's not black mold. You know, if it's like aspergillus or if it's like the yellow powdery stuff or it's pink, and, you know, they're like, oh, that's not black mold. And it's like, well, okay, let's go through a little lesson here on all molds can make people sick, and we have to treat all molds the same way. And so, you know, we may have to do testing to show, yes, it is mold growth, and it still has to be remediated before the walls are closed in. And it's just really important to continue to test those, the framing, the wood, to make sure that it's below a certain moisture content before it gets walled in. So again, these are all strategies that are just easily employable, And sometimes you have to have your fighting gloves on. You really have to push and keep hold their feet to the fire. And again, depending on the builder, you know, different outcomes. But generally, if you do that and you have, you know, the certain things in, I mean, I've seen contracts written without even an inspection in a new home contract. And you're like, okay, you expect me to buy this home without inspecting it. So we have to get that written in. And pre-drywall inspection, a lot of people are just like, well, why should I do any of this? It's new construction. You know, it's everything's going to be great. And you should do it more than ever because, again, codes is bare minimum and they're not always reliable. And to pay to have invest in a third party to come in and inspect your home before drywall and then at the completion is worth its weight in gold. And it's one of the best things that you can do to protect yourself.
And mold illness can be so much more than just allergies. I get a sinus infection every now and then. We know there are associations with things like neurological disorders, like ALS. I heard of a family that a little boy started having seizures right after moving into a new home, and they were suspecting mold. There can be life-changing health consequences to living in a mold toxic environment. And last week we talked about the little boy whose autism is now in remission because he was treated for mycotoxins. So it's a really big deal. And not just education piece, teaching people about what mold illness can do to the body. And we're indwellers, you know, we're inside most of the time. And indoor air quality can be significantly worse than what's going on outdoors. Because not only do we have the mycotoxins and things like that, but a lot of people are still purchasing chemical cleaners, and a lot of our furniture and things like that may be treated with chemicals that weren't properly safety tested. So there's a lot of different things that can go on with the air quality in your home. And so when we talk about remediation, I know when I went through the whole shenanigans of having all this mold in my home, I had several remediation companies that came out and gave me a quote. I went with your recommendation, Heather, which he was fantastic, but he was a little bit more expensive, and goodness, he was like waitlisted out. I think I had to wait a good 6 to 8 weeks to be able to get on his schedule, but I had other companies that came in and they were like, no, you don't need to spend all that money on remediation. We have this solution that we can just fog and that's going to kill all the mycotoxins. So why is that a bad idea?
The miracle, right? It's like the miracle drug.
Mm-hmm.
Fogging does not take care of the source of the mold. And so again, people think it's just this quick fix, and it's not. That you have to invest. You have to, and you know, sometimes maybe the fix is not all that expensive to repair what is actually driving the mold growth or the source in your house. So, you know, invest in removing the source. And then after you remediate, if fine particle cleaning, which is fogging, is necessary, then you can do that. But then be prepared to clean again, because it's bringing those particles to surfaces and it still has to be wiped up and cleaned up. So that's like the very, very last thing.
Yeah. I always tell people fogging is like, it's like the dusting at the very end of your remediation project. And also this is kind of a marketing tactic when you tell somebody that, no, you don't have to spend all that money and do something hard. You know, we're like a fifth of the price and we'll fix everything, because they're kind of telling you what you want to hear. Most people do not want to go out all of this money for this really extensive remediation. And, you know, I feel like there's so many companies popping up here and there that are preying on people. And now with fogging, are there any types of solutions that you recommend, or any specific companies that you would recommend to come in and fog after the remediation is complete? And with fogging, does that help with contamination of porous items? I've heard situations where people made a really bad mold, toxic environment. And then they were concerned that they were going to have to get rid of a lot of their porous furniture and things like that. Like, could fogging be a solution to that, to where you might not need to get rid of so many household items?
I don't think it's safe to call it a blanket solution. I think it's very, it's going to be very individualized and based on that person's level of symptoms. And typically what a lot of people will do, they'll clean their belongings. So you clean it different if it's a porous or non-porous. So, and you know, particle board, things that have gotten wet, they need to be disposed of. Books, anything that's been saturated need to go, in my opinion. But there's strategies to deal with the rest of it. And if you're symptomatic around it, and no matter how much you've cleaned it, you called an upholstery company out to clean your couch, or you fogged, or you've dumped whatever in it, and you're still symptomatic, then that's your answer. You know, it needs to go. And so if you treat the items like that, if you take them out of the house and put them in a pot or storage, and then wipe them off and clean them and then bring them in and see how you do with that item, and if you react to it, then get rid of it. Some people have to do that before they go back in and live with everything, all of their belongings at once. So it's just, again, it's very individualized. And there are protocols out there on how to treat, you know, if it's a hard, porous surface, it's not made up of MDF board and things like that, then, you know, you're probably going to be able to clean it and be fine. The sun works great, sticking items out in the sun and getting a little ozone, in terms of like actual solution. You know, there's products with thyme in it. There's thieves, which is actually backed by Dr. Edward Close. He's a PhD, and he has done some studies with thieves that have shown reduction in mycotoxins with utilizing thieves. And you can do a fogging with thieves with an atomizer, which doesn't put water back into the air. There's a whole study out there on that, available for anybody that wants to peruse it. It's Edward Close, Close. And so you can use that. And then if you want to pull out the bigger guns, I have had my remediator use chlorine dioxide before, to, you know, fog contain spaces or areas where we're dealing with mycotoxins. And that basically works to, I'm not going to say kill, but, you know, deactivate mycotoxins or break down the structure to where they're no longer as toxic. So, and, you know, he can give more backstory on how that works and more of the mechanics of that. But I do have some clients that have used that before, and it's been very effective.
Good to know. I'm so interested about just these different tools that we have, because it can be really overwhelming, and these things are expensive. And I think it's important to know what to do to prevent mold in your home. And then if you are exposed, here are some things that you can do. So I've been saying his name wrong for all of these years. You said it's Close. Okay. So Dr. Close, I am going to put his website in the show notes for you guys, because if you are mold sensitive, this could be a good option for you, because these atomizers, they're basically like mega essential oil diffusers, but they're different than that, you know? So that's a way that you could actually fog your own home for maintenance. Like for us, we have done all the remediation, but we will go through and use the atomizers a couple of times per year. And we usually do it when we leave town. We'll put the atomizer on, just because I got so sick. And, you know, saying that you're just going to live in a completely mold-free environment is like saying that we're going to go zero COVID. There's always going to be mold species, but it's about keeping these levels down to where it's a safe environment for you. And we're all different. Some people are more sensitive than others. And I also wanted to ask you, so we were talking about how people can go through and, you know, prevent mold growth. And you mentioned that keeping the humidity below 50%. What are some other things that people should just be doing? I know we talked about the refrigerator, like cleaning behind that. What are some other things that people should be doing just for maintenance of their home?
Again, I mean, just scaling your property, walking around outside at least once a year, more than that. I mean, I would say twice a year just to make sure your gutters are opened and functioning, making sure the drainage is going away from the foundation. That's huge. Getting a roof inspection, which is something that a lot of people don't do, you know, after the freeze that we had in January and here in Tennessee and other parts of the country, you know, that can break down an older roof. And so getting your roof inspected is a really good idea, at least once a year. If you're in new construction, you can do another home inspection your 11th month. And then you can take that to the builder and have them fix things on their dime. Because oftentimes with new construction, you have to live in it for a little while to see how it's going to function. You have to use the plumbing. You have to use all sorts of things. And so it may be something that pops up that you may not notice during a home inspection. So if you're in new construction and you've got a bunch of bathrooms that you don't use, start using them. Like, for sure, take showers in them, like, you know, just commit, I'm going to take a shower in this bathroom for a week. Use that plumbing regularly to make sure it functions right. Again, deep cleaning, we mentioned that. That's really important to keep the dust particles down. Washing bedding. A lot of people don't wash their bedding enough. Opening windows, blinds, so that you get that UV light coming in on your surfaces and in the rooms. Changing air filters. I go in some homes and they're like, yeah, we change our filter every 6 months. And I mean, I change mine monthly. So those are just some really easy things that you can do to just help contribute, you know, the maintenance, HVAC maintenance that we talked about. And just getting them to clean the coils. It's not just, you know, checking refrigerant levels and testing pressures and things like that. Like schedule them to actually clean those components, because sometimes mold is microscopic and they're not taught to look for, you know, they can say, oh yeah, we see it covered with it. Like you said, Melissa, in your case, but they're not trained and taught. They're not mold inspectors. So that's not first and foremost for most of them and what they're looking for. So if you build in the cleaning aspect of it, then you have better chances of keeping that equipment, you know, mold free.
Yeah. And also another thing I wanted to mention is getting a good quality air purifier, like a HEPA air purifier. And remember, with health and wellness, there's a lot of amazing products. There's also a lot of snake oil. I see people that will find these air purifiers for $100. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if that's really going to do anything. So the one that I use that I've actually noticed a difference with is the Air Doctor. That's something I can put a link in for you guys. But yeah, there's a lot of little things that you can do to make your environment healthier for you and your family. And this was such valuable information. Heather, you reminded me, I'm like, oh, we have an older roof. I need to get this inspected. So yeah, I have like my list of things I probably need to make sure that I do this year. So if our listeners want to learn more about you, where can they find you?
So I am on the web, the holistic realtor, TN.com. I'm on Instagram. If you want to follow me there, my handle is the holistic realtor TN. And I just share a lot of advice and stories and that sort of thing there. So that's a great place to go. And then I'm on, I've got a real estate website, NashvilleHeather.com.
And thank you for tuning in today. And I will see you next week.
It's time in this city.